Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Punk Rock Hospital. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
On June 13th, 1978, the Cramps and the Mutants played a punk show at Napa State Hospital, which is a psychiatric facility. A lot of the information out there refers to it as a mental hospital, which I think is a dated term.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it is referenced as in a lot of these articles. So we'll use psychiatric facility. I think that's probably the best. But at the time, it was technically a mental hospital, and that's what it was called. So I'm just putting that out there first to let people know that mental illness is not a huge factor in this whatsoever, but it is an interesting world of a band playing at a venue that isn't necessarily meant for this. Johnny Cash, Folsom Prison was huge. The Sex Pistols played a prison. Metallica played a prison, played at a prison, very corny, whatever. But there is somewhat of a history of bands playing at places that are atypical. The Cramps playing at a psychiatric facility is very strange because if you're not familiar with the band The Cramps, I'm not an expert on them. I first heard them probably from MTV in 1989, 1990. Catholic Girls and Machine Guns.
Yeah.
I feel like that was like one of their...
They kind of like post-punk.
Psychobilly.
I was going to say hardcore, but psychobilly.
Psychobilly, very retro. Uh-huh. You know, kind of really pushing the boundaries, you know, a little tiny bit of gender bending.
Yeah.
Lux Interior, Poison Ivy, Rorschach. You know, they were a couple in, you know, from 1976 until Lux Interior's death in 2009. They both lived in Glendale.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I when I found that out, obviously, after the fact, I became extremely endeared to them even more because it's so close to me. In fact, he died in Glendale Memorial Hospital, which is very close. I don't live in Glendale, but I live pretty close to this hospital, pass it all the time. And I don't know, I just felt like this very strange connection and, you know, my love of Los Angeles and finding things out later that they made this home in Glendale was very endearing to me, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's nice to feel like, you know, we're talking about a lot of concepts from all over the world, but when something kind of hits home, you're like, oh, that's right here. It's my backyard. It kind of fuels me wanting to know more about it.
And if you're familiar with the Cramps, they have a very intense look, an intense vibe, and especially back in 1978, they were pretty still in their infancy. They started in, I think, as the Bay Area, went to New York, eventually ended up in Los Angeles in probably 1980. Mm-hmm. Just kind of give you the lay of the land. But it's not AM radio. How about that? It's not AM radio. It's a very odd, caustic combination, I think, to have at something like that. And that's what makes this concert so iconic and so punk rock in its purest form, I guess, depending on, you know, who you ask and what their definition of punk rock is. In the Napa Valley, I learned, which I didn't know much about. I don't really go there. I have a low credit score, so I don't go to Napa Valley.
No, you don't Napa?
But it wasn't known, as at least from what I imagined back then, as the wine country it is now, as much as it is now. And it was very known for having this state hospital. For people that live there, from what I'm gathering. So it's very interesting that the late 70s were such an interesting time to have this happen. And there was a few dozen fans showed up, amazing, came up from San Francisco.
Were they let in?
Yeah, yeah, because it was outside. So okay. From what I'm gathering, because there's a video from Target Video, which has nothing to do with Target, but they were a pretty big video company back then, like kind of archiving a lot of stuff and putting stuff out like in an official way. And the video is interesting. I think it's like pretty much black and white because it starts to get dark because the band, the Mutants, they went on after, which is pretty strange, but they didn't get filmed because I believe it was too dark out. So it was interesting that, and everything's commingled. Mm-hmm. There's no barrier.
Yeah.
It's almost like they just set up and played. A few dozen fans, a few hundred people that were residents of the hospital and some hospital staff. Were there a few escape attempts? Yes.
Of course.
That definitely happened, but it's just probably so – it's just a shocking scene.
Yeah. That's
the best way to put it, because it's not the first time art and music have been presented in these situations. It's just not the Cramps.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think you think about the booker for that – institution? Or you think about the activities coordinator, I guess would be.
It was like an artistic, right? Kind of coordinator, yeah. Or activities coordinator.
And you're like, what would be good here? Like, what kind of thing? Like, I think in general, maybe I don't have any background in this, obviously, but you want things that feel therapeutic or soothing, but there's lots of ways to do that. And it's not just, you know, a symphony or a puppet show or, you know, a bunch of people making things out of clay. You know, like, it can be a lot. Art and the way people heal and express themselves and are entertained can be a lot of different things. And I love that. I think this should happen more.
We're the Cramps. We're from New York City, and we drove 3,000 miles to play for you people, Lux Interiors started the show with. He also went on to say, someone told me you people are crazy, but I'm not so sure about that. You seem to be all right to me. Thought it was a nice, you know, I mean, obviously, it was not, you know.
Yeah, not super
eloquent in that sense, but I think it was an earnest, which I'll take an earnest response to something.
Yeah.
Obviously, they weren't doing it for, you know, a huge paycheck. It's not like, mm-hmm. oh, we're getting $1 million to play there. It's probably like, hey, this is weird. This is art. You know, the bands like this were very, the aesthetic was part of it.
Yeah.
You know, I always think like, if you took the B-52s mm-hmm. and made it a little more aggressive.
Yeah.
Or you took the early days of like the Misfits and maybe slightly less aggressive. That's a mm-hmm. very kind of broad strokes of the whole thing, but that's what it was like. But the art around it was part of it. And I think this kind of plays into that.
Definitely. And kind of pushing the boundaries and all that comes with that. It's great. It's a performance. It's a performance piece, really.
So it was put together by journalist and radio host Howie Klein and Bart Swain, who was the activity specialist. That's what he's called. So he's booked bands before, mm-hmm. but Howie Klein was like, hey, wouldn't this be great? I think he went on to be the president of Reprise Records or Reprise Records, like a pretty like 80s, you know, popular, I don't know where they're at now, but it was a pretty, you know, some cool bands were on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Imagine Dragons, you ever hear them?
Oh,
when they were
love them.
Cut that. Sorry, Imagine Dragons. I have nothing against you. I just, that's what I always pick, but I'm sure they're fine. I have nothing against them.
Radioactive.
I think they actually have a song that I definitely don't mind. I don't know if it's that
one. Wow, backpedaling on Imagine Dragons.
Yeah, well, in case they want to play our, you know, the Ghost Town anniversary's coming up. Maybe they want to play it or something like that.
Oh, that's an open invitation, Imagine Dragons, now that we've just dragged you.
I'm sure people have been more harsh to Imagine Dragons than
that. Yeah, that's true.
Nobody's been harsh to us, so
it's good. Handle it. We can handle it.
So it's a bit of like an outside, like, you know, a bunch of outsiders that are kind of coming together because, you know, you have a band that are outsiders
mm-hmm.
in their own world, in their own industry. And then you also have, because it also wasn't super, you know, the Cramps really pushed that gender bending thing. You know, Lux Interior wore I mean, he wore like leather pants and pumps, you know, kind of like an Iggy Pop style, you know, very cool.
Very cool.
But also, you know, then it's like New York Dolls and you had glam and all that kind of stuff. But also, you know, there's people that were like, hey, that's not masculine what you're doing and and such. So it was outsiders. And he put that together. And I think it's a super cool thing. And I feel like there was a kind of a huge bond. Jill Hoffman Kowal of Target Video said to say it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. What we did for those people, it was liberating. They had so much fun. They pretended they were singing. They were jumping on stage. It was a couple of hours of total freedom. They didn't judge the band, and the band didn't judge them, which I think was pretty
cool. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Man, I would like to see a contemporary program for, you know, a hospital like this is like arts activities and see what they incorporate nowadays, you know?
It's Imagine Dragons. And one of the really great parts of this was a break. Lux Interior goes on to say, we always wanted to play at a mental institution because we always had a problem with the audiences not being quite what we'd like them to be. We thought if we went to a mental institution, the audiences would contribute, and they really did. They were male and female inmates humping each other on the ground.
Hey.
It was the most bizarre show we've ever done. These people just went crazy. Obviously, poor choice of words.
I know. Also, inmates.
Yeah, it's these are quotes. This is, you know, just kind of, you know, delivering the information. Doing everything you'd imagine people in a mental institution would do. There were people licking the walls, people laying on top of each other and coming up and talking to us while we were playing. But mainly it was people dancing in the weirdest dances you've ever seen.
I mean, it sounds great. It's like people, it's like what you, if you were an entertainer or a musician or any kind of artist, that's kind of how you would want, I think, your art to be received. Enjoyment and expression and kind of feeling cohesion and just really like feeling what, whatever your performance is putting out there.
I think everyone's, for the most part, are entitled to experience different things, you know, that doesn't. You know, and I'm not an expert, and I know that a lot of this is there's a little bit of shock and a little wildness to it. But my takeaway from the whole thing is that, and again, I wasn't there. I can't really speak on it. But what it seems is I took away was a very like a sweet thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like a interesting kind of in the chaos, something very interesting because, you know, at the time, you know, the Cramps popularity didn't really hit till a couple of years later. So it's not like they were huge and anything like that. So to them, they don't know what their trajectory was either. So they were probably just doing something like, yeah, this is cool. Let's do this. Because, you know, for people to be like, hey, leave New York, come to Napa Valley, play this show. It was like, again, it wasn't like you were playing the White House or something like that kind of strange. It was like, let's do this like weird, cool thing. And it seemed like it was just another interesting kind of side note of music history and punk rock history.
Yeah. I will say, though, to play devil's advocate, which I think a lot of – maybe not a lot, but some people are maybe listening to this and thinking, you know, it's also – to play devil's advocate, it's using these people who are at a disadvantage and who are in this institution as set pieces for kind of this greater fringe aesthetic too. So, I mean, again, it's like – it felt like from what you've said, they were enjoying themselves and everyone had a great time, but it's also like it's serving this greater reputation of this band.
There's a PR element to it. Yeah. There's a benefit. Yeah. You know, history kind of dictated. It wasn't, you know, wasn't like, oh, if they never played this, you know, in Napa, they would have went and worked as accountants or something like that. So is it really looking back is a footnote. We're talking about it now in kind of a historical, nostalgic way. Johnny Cash playing Folsom Prison was hugely iconic for him, especially in his own career.
Definitely self-serving, for sure.
And you know, listen, I think about that a lot. And, you know, the idea of playing for prisoners, like, well, depending on who the prisoners are, I mean, let's pretend if there's a prisoner that murdered a family, well, they don't get the benefit of seeing Johnny Cash in concert.
Yeah.
So is there a reward to it? I can't judge every single thing that happens there. That is a huge example of like iconic. I mean, you don't think about Johnny Cash without thinking of Folsom Prison.
Absolutely.
He's got his songs, you know, he's got a song about it. And it really was a huge turning point in his, you know, in his career, because, you know, he had ups and downs and all that. Now he's obviously extremely, looking back, as extremely beloved and has mm-hmm. a really interesting history. But that was definitely something where it's like, you benefited huge from this thing. Yeah. And I don't know. Yeah. And the Cramps really, you know, historically kind of, we're always kind of like a fringe kind yeah. of thing. And
not to say those two things can't be mutually exclusive. Yeah, they both can be. You know, yeah, like you can serve yourself and you can serve the community yeah. in any way you want.
And we do that. That happens all the time. I mean, you know, there's always a thing all the time of kind of like, this is benefiting you, but it's also benefiting me. Yeah. And that's okay. And yeah, I guess you can't really kind of speak on it, but I think from what I gather, listen, if the after effects of this were different, I'd be talking about it a lot differently. And I can't know and I can't say, but I thought it was just a really kind of interesting footnote in music and in history and a little bit of California history.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. You know,
I mean, it's kind of aspirational to, again, like go and serve different unconventional locations and have everyone have a good time. I mean, let's get out there and tour.
And maybe one day another podcast will talk about the time Imagine Dragons played our Ghost Town anniversary show.